First Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, another the gift of healing by the same Spirit. Now, we're taking up the healing subject of the message tonight on the body and the school, the ward in the school that God oftentimes puts his children. That's a very interesting thing. Why Christians suffer? Who is responsible? God or the devil or neither? We'll be taking that up tonight. But we want to get down to these 3 points: wisdom, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and the gift of faith. We've been drawing attention to these things. But you know, there are 2 things you can say about wisdom, and 2 things about knowledge, and 2 things about faith. This is quite the intro yesterday, and I think it's quite clear. In other words, there's such a thing as wisdom. Every child of God has some wisdom. He has wisdom that he knows he's saved. Christ is the wisdom of God, and a Christian, everyone who's saved, possesses wisdom. For Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And every Christian has wisdom. Like Timothy, he said, from a child, Paul writing to himself, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. And so, Timothy had wisdom. The wisdom of salvation. They do that. There's another thing. Wisdom is also a gift. Something in addition. Every Christian in the world who possesses Christ has wisdom. Wisdom from above in the person of the Lord Jesus. But every Christian does not have the gift of wisdom. A special ability, a special qualification. For instance, the Lord Jesus Christ says to the disciples, he says, have I not chosen you? Well, now he's speaking about calling for service, being chosen, selected for service. And he didn't choose all his servants, all his people to go forth as servants. But he selected well because of the qualification. And also, Peter speaks of God hath made choice among us. Paul speaks of that. God hath made choice among us. That Peter should go to the Jews and he should go to the Gentiles. And so there is salvation. And when you know Christ, you have wisdom. And you're opposite to those who don't have Christ. They don't have wisdom at all. They're living in ignorance. But then after you know Christ as your Savior and your sins are forgiven, God gives to some people, he gives them the gift to use that wisdom that they have. A special gift, that's what you have in our text. The gift to some are given the gift of wisdom. Then he speaks of the gift of knowledge. Well, that's also true. You have knowledge. If you're a Christian, you have the knowledge of salvation. You have the knowledge of sins forgiven. You have the knowledge of peace with God. You have the knowledge of everlasting life. You have this knowledge, and you have it the moment you receive Christ as your Savior. That's wonderful to have this knowledge. Just to think, I know my sins are all forgiven. I know I have everlasting life. I know I shall never perish. I know he does. But then God gives some people the gift of knowledge, the ability, the qualification to make known to others, to communicate to others what they know. I know some people, and they can deny that. They're happy Christians. And they know a lot of things, but they just don't have the ability to communicate. But God gives some the gift of knowledge, so they can explain and expound and communicate what they know to others. Some people can be very silent, and yet they have a lot of wisdom and a lot of knowledge, but they just don't have the ability to get to pass that on. Now that's what he's getting at. Some is giving the gift of wisdom, to some the gift of knowledge. Then you get down to faith, the same thing, the gift of faith. Now every child of God has faith, or he wouldn't be a child of God. He's exercised faith in Christ. I believe you know that. I thought you could understand that. Every Christian has faith. Take faith in Christ. When you deposit your faith in the Lord Jesus and the one who died for you upon the cross, you are saved. And he tells us that over in the second Ephesians. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, which any man do. The faith there is not a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. By grace are you saved. Through faith. Faith is that which brings God's salvation into your soul. But then after people are saved, all God's people are saved by faith, not by works. But then it pleases God to give some of his people faith, a special gift that can move mountains. Faith that can pluck up a sycamore tree and plant it in the tree. Faith to do the supernatural. And this is what you have in the early part of the Acts, all these miracles that are being performed by the apostles to demonstrate the fact that they are the chosen ones of God, to demonstrate the fact that their message is from God. Before they had the Bible, they had these credentials, these evidences. Here is their gift. God given men the gift of faith, the ability to demonstrate these facts by miracles. And you might say the book of the Acts is not so much the Acts of the Apostles, but it's the Acts of the Spirit of God through the Apostles. So these are these three things that I want to notice. You have wisdom, knowledge, faith. Wisdom is the portion of every born again person. You have Christ, and Christ the embodiment of wisdom. You have knowledge. You have the knowledge of your saved, you're born again, you're going to heaven. That's wonderful knowledge. But then some people have a special gift of knowledge. They can communicate what they know. Then you have faith. You know, though your faith is small, if your faith is deposited in Christ, you're saved. It's not the amount of faith you have that saves you, it's who your faith is in. If your faith is in Christ, you're saved. If your faith is in yourself, you're not. If your faith is in a church or organization that takes you to heaven, you're lost. But if your faith is in Jesus Christ, and all your faith is in him as far as salvation, that's saving faith. And you also get living faith. But the gift of faith is something else. And these things are plainly taught in your Bible, and I trust that we're going to help you along this line. Now, please, let's go back to the first one. The gift of wisdom, in addition to the fact that you're saved, and you know Christ. Special ability. And I was thinking of Solomon in this connection. I'm going to read you some verses in 1 Kings 3:9-11. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to learn knowledge. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart to know so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall there be any after thee. How wonderful God to give this special wisdom to Solomon. Solomon was a child of God, as we understand it. He was one of the Lion of Kings. He was one of God's kings. He didn't use all the wisdom he had, though. I don't see how a man can call wise when he gets 1,000 wives. I think he's fool. So Solomon had a lot of wisdom, but he didn't use it all well. And furthermore, you'll find down here what he says in 1 Kings 4. This is an amazing passage. It says here, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom exceeded the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in the Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came all people from all over the world to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Isn't that something? To think of the wisdom of Solomon. God gave him amazingly. He was God's son. Now God just selected Solomon, and he imparted unto him, and God was pleased with his prayer. Solomon had a desire to be used of God. He thought of the Lord's people, and he knew he wasn't able or qualified to meet that great need of God's people. And he didn't ask the thing for himself. Oftentimes, in Christian prayer, me and my family and my relatives and everything they asked was around me. I want to be blessed. But Solomon didn't. Here he was king, not too old. And there's that great Lord, he says, "I need wisdom, I need knowledge, I need understanding. How am I going to meet the great needs of my people unless I get special wisdom?" And God was pleased with that prayer. And God gave him wisdom. The same thing happened to Adam. Here's Adam. God had pleased him for the offering of bread and life when he was a living soul. But then God created all these various creatures. Birds of the air, fishes of the sea. But God gave Noah special knowledge, special wisdom. He couldn't have done what he did otherwise. Notice what it says here. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air that brought them forth unto Adam and brought them forth unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found in heaven." Today, I don't know whether you see it, but I do love that wild kingdom. There are animals roaming this globe I never even heard of. But could you conceive of God creating all these animals, and Adam was able to name them? God gave him great knowledge, great wisdom. Now you come to another, here's the Apostle Paul, saved in the Damascus Road. What did God say in Egypt? God chose him for a purpose. And he said, "I'm a wise master builder." Now Paul, carefully on our breath. He said, "I'm a wise master builder. I was able to lay the foundation of the church in Corinth and other churches." God gave him the ability to be a wise master builder. And so you have these various characters that please God to select to give wisdom. It is so amazing wisdom to Solomon, done like the most private. He gave wisdom to Noah. He gave wisdom to the apostles. Once you speak of others to whom he gave. This is God's sovereign grace and his progress. Sometimes when I was reading this, I thought of myself. You know what? I didn't have any sense at all before I was there. Just a young man out different foot out of this world. I didn't have any spiritual sense. I didn't have any interpretation. All I thought about was living for this life. I didn't have any sense. But then I got saved at the age of 90. Just through the church. And I was shy, believe it or not on the ice, but I was shy before a congregation. I didn't want to speak. But after I got saved, something happened. The Lord opened my mouth, and I found I could. And by sovereign grace, God has enabled us to plant a number of churches. This was God given. It wasn't mine. I didn't learn it in college or university. But it's something that God, I was walking down Eighth Avenue the other day, in my walk, and I began pondering over the years that passed. And a few words flashed into my mind, and I regretted it. I took out my pocketbook and found a little piece of paper, and I wrote down these words just out of it. And this is what I wrote down. What I am, He made me be. What I am not, He has set me from me. In other words, God did it all. It's not a man's bloated, natural, and physical ability. It's not to have spiritual ability, and this comes from God. No man can receive anything except He has given him from above. That is in the realm of the Spirit. And so, God is putting this on power. There is gift of wisdom. Don't worry if you won't have that gift. God didn't give it to you. There's nothing worse than a person trying to do something they don't have the ability to do. God gives men certain gifts to do certain things, and it's not for them to glory in that because God gave them. What hast thou that thou hast not received? And if you receive it, why do you glory in? And so here you find a Christian may attain wisdom of salvation when they receive Jesus Christ. But then if God has a work for them to do, He'll give them the additional wisdom to do. That's the gift of wisdom you find in our text. And some are given the gift of wisdom. And also in reference to knowledge, the gift of knowledge. In other words, I must have knowledge of life in Christ. Otherwise I couldn't talk about Christ. You can quote and talk up a storm about married life if you're married. I can't, but I'm not married. I don't know whether you've got a gift or not. But nevertheless, I know that when a person has an experience, they know all about it. Others speak from theory and less than you did out of the Bible. If you did out of the Bible, you're on good ground. But there is a gift or not. Knowledge without wisdom is impossible in the economy of thought. Knowledge in itself, without wisdom, is just a cold theology. God makes these two together. Wisdom and knowledge. And we'll reference to that later. James says, the body without the spirit is dead, and so knowledge without wisdom is dead also. Person not using your head. And notice last Sunday, he said seven times, knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Wisdom is eternal. Wisdom has to do with God. Because who can parallel the depth? Wisdom has to do with God. Knowledge has to do with our doing things. Down here. Things we know. Things you can do. How wonderful it is. You know the beginning of this thing. The fear of God is the beginning of it. No fear of God is foolish and suicidal. For the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. If you come out and say it audibly, you're fooled twice. But David says it, you need to say it in your heart, because no God will rule. But if you come out and tell people, I'm so being a God, I know fear and God, you're fooled twice. A fool has said in his heart, there's no God. To look about God, most of all, handy with, and say, I don't fear God. Fear of God is the beginning of it. God's wonderful salvation. How wonderful it is. And that salvation begins when you begin to fear God, that you sin against God, and you've got to give an account to God for how you've lived and what you've done on this earth. And if the fear of God begins to grip your heart, though you've got to meet him, you'll do something about it. If you've got any intelligence at all. This is the ultimate. Got to meet God. God says, prepare to meet thy God. So God wants us to fear him. I'm a Christian. I don't fear God as my church. I don't fear God as his leading him and going to hell. But I fear God as his child. Because my father, heavenly father, is a disciplinarian. My earthly one was too. He believed in patting his family on the back. Often enough, hard enough, and low enough. He believed that. He was disciplinarian. As I told some of this to you, I said, well, God often uses the Board of Education. Solid application of the Board of Education, and people understand. He was, God won't let you find it. If you're his child, you're disciplined. And Christians fear God because God is going to do that. And if you're without disciples, then he says you're not chosen at all. So a sinner fears God because he's not ready to meet him. And God is a God that is going to reject everything. But once you become a Christian, that perfect love of God casts about him to fear at home. Not afterwards. At the reverence of the dear God. That reason. You know, you tell your father, you can always just say, do the right thing you said. If you try that, you're not even listening. And God is just right. And so we have these imperatives, wisdom and true knowledge. You know, there was something. It came into my mind the other night at the Bible studies on Wednesday night on John, John 3, on the next chapter. But I noticed while I was reading it through, four times in chapter 3 you have those two words, we know, he knows, we know, we know. I never noticed them before. This is not, we know, we know, we know, we know. Now, what are those things? In fact, you have 15 things in chapter 3 and the end of chapter 5 that every Christian knows. That's wonderful knowledge. We know we have passed from death unto life. Now, this is what they knew. And that is past tense. We know we have passed from death unto life. No question about it. Every Christian has this knowledge. We know he abideth in us. Even that one. In verse 24 of chapter 3, we know he abideth in us. There are two persons. We know or have two persons. We know we have passed in us. Right? Now he says, we know he abideth in us. That's the present. And the future, we know we are the truth. Well, that's present too. We know we're of the truth, and the fourth thing there, we know we shall be like this, that we know. There's no doubt here, there's no hesitation. We know what know we pass from death to life. We know he abideth in us. We know we are of the truth. Isn't that wonderful? There's so much error in the world. They come to your door and you wonder who is right. All kinds of stuff, letters. But there's only one truth. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's wonderful for a person to say in a world of tradition, in a world of deception, in a world of false cults, doctrines of Jesus, all kinds of error, to be able to say, I have this knowledge, I know, I have the truth. We know we're of the truth. Signed up in verse 19 of chapter 3. And he says, we know, and this is the future, we know we shall be like him. Also, they knew, in verse 12 of chapter 2, they knew their sins were forgiven. Also, they knew something else in chapter 5 and 13. We know we have everlasting life. There are six things these Christians knew. And I'm going to read them all in verse 18 of chapter 5. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, or doth not practice it. If you're born again, you're not going to be the same person you were before. You're not going practicing what you did before you were saved. And that's something every Christian should know. They that are in Christ are a new creature. We speak the old things to pass away, all things to become new. But he says something else in that verse. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. Now that doesn't mean that I'm begotten of God, I keep myself, that the worst thing is inside of you. Who is it that suggests of God? We're begotten by the Spirit of God. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God lifts up the standard against us. And so, every Christian, he can't keep himself. I can't keep myself. It's only the Spirit of God in me that can keep me and ward off the approaches of the enemy. And that verse, another thing, you know. And that the wicked one touches them not. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There's an area in the Christian that the devil himself can't touch. God put a hedge, three hedges around the door. And the devil couldn't get at the very first. The wicked one touches them not. Nice for a Christian to know that. The devil has limitations. And thus far shalt thou go, and no farther, says God. Not everything we know in those verses. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God. That's another thing. And the whole world lieth in wickedness, or in the hands of the wicked one. You ought to know that. And another, and we know that the Son of God is come. That's another thing. We know that. And hath given us understanding enough. Isn't there something to know all these things? And it go on. It said also, we know, he asked that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is truth. And we are in him that is truth. And we know we are in the Son Jesus. But I want to concentrate on one expression that struck me this week. We know we are his kids. That's what I'm asking. I am in Christ. Time and time again in the New Testament, you read that. I'm in Christ. That's not a circle. That's a sphere. I'm going to grab my dictionary. What is a sphere? Here. The body, or it's an orb, it's a ball, it's the environment, it's a province, a country, it's a field, it's a cap, or it's a ring, it's a ring, or it's a globe. A sphere of activity, a sphere of influence. Isn't that remarkable? That I'm in a sphere, something that's wrong. That's the difference between a sphere and a circle. You can make a circle on the ground and dip onto that, into that circle, which are on one level. That doesn't take in what's above you, what's around you. You can step into that circle. That's not a sphere. what Jesus Christ is receiving. A circle of influence, a circle of power, a circle of life, and I am Christ. But if you could take that fear now and cause that fear to become, or take that foot to become a fear, you have something above you, you have something below you, you have something behind you, something in front of you, something on the right hand, something on the left. In the World's Fair up in Montreal, Canada, a lot of nations had a huge fear. In other words, it was a great big wall. And you had a little plane, 15 people in, not off inside this fear. And inside that huge fear orb was that nation represented. Its life, its culture, all that went off. And you'd go in and you could say, well, I'm here in Hungary. I'm here in Russia. And you saw what was going on in Russia. There it is, concentrated in that sphere. That's the sphere. You take the sun, it's a sphere. And this little earth is a sphere. And this little earth is influenced by that sphere. It's under the tug of that sphere. I am in Christ. I'm in the very center of the person of Jesus Christ. The height, the depth, the length, the depth of the love of God. I'm in the center of His life. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm not in a circle on one level. That's where animals are, and that's where men are, on one level, on earth. The birds are in a sphere. They're all around them. Fishes are in a sphere, water all around them. We mentioned before. Bird is in the air, and the air is in the bird. The fish is in the sea, and the sea is in the fish. Christ is in me, and I'm in Christ. Think of the influence of Jesus Christ. That sphere. And I'm in that sphere before. And that sphere separates me from everything outside of me. This is the new being in Christ. And He separates you from the influence of the world. The sphere of the wicked one. You say that sphere is my sphere. Or the influence. There are all kinds of other influences. The influence. The influence of the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ exercised an influence in my life. And I'm under His influence because I'm in that. And He separates me from evil influence. He protects me from these other influences. And He supplies me with all that's within that. I'm in Jesus Christ. Can you think of anything more wonderful than that? And that's what He's talking about. We are in Jesus Christ. What a difference from standing in a circle or something. You step across the line with it. But to think that you are in a sphere of influence that's behind. A sphere of influence and power that that's Christ Himself. And Christ is in that sphere. And He is Christ. And that's the sphere that's going to dominate this world. We have the sphere of conflict and other spheres of influence. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this globe and this orb and this sphere, He's going to come. And His influence spread from pole to pole. The influence of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. Oh, the things that be in that sphere. A lot of people are caught up in the frequency is evident. But this is what the apostle is talking about. I know. We know we're in Him. You know this morning you're in Christ Jesus. Could you be in a safer place? On all the resources inside that sphere are yours. Jesus Christ is love, His joy, His peace, His power, His wisdom. And you're in that sphere. And God wants you to have navigated that. He wants you to live in the enjoyment of that. That's what He talks.
Because you know you're in Christ. Or you're saved, you're in the love, you're in your sins, not an offer. You're in a sphere of the little one.
That's a bad sphere to be in.
His territory, His reign, where He roams.
This is the things of what God says about those who are in wonderful peace in Christ. How deep to be, how beautiful to be, and what is your life is Jesus Christ in God. You're in a sea, and the very heart of that sea is Jesus Christ, and the very circumference of that sea is Jesus Christ. It's like an orb within this world of orbs, all these planets are sea. Something to But there's one sphere in the universe of God where Jesus Christ is the center. And that's where I am. In the very heart of the sphere. Here people need to be said, oh, I think of it, it works. It doesn't. It's true. They mean by that, oh, I can't say,
well, it's not of it, works. Go to other countries. Oh, it's not of it, works.
I can't. I can't tell you how wonderful it is. And I can't tell you how wonderful it is to be in Christ. It's out of this world. It's not all. Jesus Christ has done all these things. I'm going to leave a testimony about time to go. It says this, and the count of the long suffering of God, our Lord, is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, that hath written unto you. As also in all epistles, speaking of them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, to say that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto the Romans brothers. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. You don't grow into grace. Once you get in grace, then you can grow. A tree of the plant that is put in doors before the grow. You've got to be in Christ before you can grow. But he says, grow in grace and in knowledge. Things I've been talking about this morning. How it is to reach this knowledge. You can understand. The more you understand these things and enjoy them, then you start giving you the gift to pass them off. He doesn't want to. He says, go in grace and in knowledge. How wonderful. That's wisdom. And have a different God. Use that wisdom. Possess knowledge. And the help of God to pass on that knowledge. And to have faith. And the help of God to exercise that faith. In doing great things for God. You know, there's a little key. And it fits a very complex lock that opens a great door into a wonderful building that's full of all kinds of precious things, heavenly things, blessings. things beyond our little mind's apprehension. All that's in that great building, behind that great door, and behind that complex lock, is a little key that gives you admission. And that little key is faith. Faith. You have that faith.
The key of this, oh, what this is open to the future. Once you know all these things, may God give you the ability to come. I remember years ago, I was in Florida when I was preaching, and a lot of people were doing it, and I had a lot of joy. One lady, she's a farmer's wife, and so a lot of folks were talking. About being free. She says, well, I'll tell you one thing. If I get saved, I'll keep it to myself. I'm not concerned with them as all others. She got the age you can look off the wall. Why don't you call people up, telling them how she got saved? She has trouble dealing with it. That's it. That's what it means. That's knowing what gospel is and gospel. That's a good thing to drop from the gospel. You don't get in trouble if you drop from the gospel. But this woman found Christ once she wanted to talk about it. You know the grand thing when you found that little key? The key of faith. First open that complex thing to some people, a complex door, salvation. A complex lock. You say, I don't understand it. The key is small. You say he got saved the other day. He said that the remarkable thing about it. It was so simple. I thought you had to have a wonderful experience. I thought there had to be lightning and thunder and wind rattling. You said, I never knew. I never explained that. It's the simplicity of salvation a lot of people stumble over. That little key has wonderful potential. Just put your faith in Jesus Christ, and the door will open. And inside that door, there'll be wonderful things. Inside that sphere, unspeakable things. Heavenly riches, all yours. Name it, spiritually, that which satisfies it in that sphere, and all be yours. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to pay a dollar. Just exercise that little key of faith. And it opens it all up. Do you take Christ? Do you accept Him? And it's pouring out your faith. It's all yours. And you'll be the happiest Christian here. All of you are going to get here. I've already got number 9. I've done God more. All those here. Happiest you will ever have is when you exercise faith in Christ, all the glories of His person and the glories of that.